This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku, Professor of Theoretical Physics at the City College and the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. And our special guest today is world-renowned physicist Professor Paul Davies of the Arizona State University, author of a number of great books and bestsellers. And so today we'll be talking about, everything. We'll be talking about life in outer space, extraterrestrial intelligence. We'll be talking about maybe time travel, maybe even the question of the origin of life and faith. Faith and science, can they mix together? So once again, with us today is Professor Paul Davies, professor of physics and broadcaster and professor at Arizona State University. He's also the director of BEYOND, the Center for Fundamental Concepts in Science. So Paul, once again, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
It's always a pleasure.
Okay, well, let's start at the beginning. How did you, as a young kid, get steered in the direction of science and eventually physics?
Unlike many of my colleagues, I was actually born a physicist. So I never wanted to do anything else. And, of course, when I was very young, I didn't know quite what physics is, but I was fascinated by the idea of atoms and unseen objects in space. Remember, I grew up in London just after World War II, and it was really, really boring. There was a lot of austerity. We didn't have vacations, didn't have a car or television. But I soon realized that I was surrounded by a wonderland of unseen forces and weird phenomena and things that truly fascinated me. And so I was just hooked from a very early age. I made a telescope, maybe you did too, when I was in my early teens, and that kindled my interest in astronomy. And then I tell a story which is true, a little bit exaggerated. I was turned onto astronomy when Margaret Thatcher, the former Prime Minister of Britain, gave me a star atlas when I was 16. And this is true, she did. She was a local member of parliament, and this was a prize for my school exams. And so I still have this atlas with her signature in it. So these things sort of propelled me in my early years and my teens. And I really never looked back. I only ever wanted to dig deep into the secrets of the universe. And I've always been a theorist. I suffer from laboraphobia. I don't have much patience for experiments. I love theory because it moves at the speed of thought.
Okay, well, you've written so many great books and bestsellers, so let's just try one and jump right into it. You wrote a book called The Eerie Silence about the fact that we scientists have scanned the heavens trying to listen for signals from extraterrestrial intelligence. In fact, we've had some of these physicists on Science Fantastic, but we turn up nothing. Zero. Nada. So why is it that there is this eerie silence out there when common sense says that our universe should be teeming with stars, planets, and eventually intelligent life? What are your thoughts?
Well, this is interesting because it also harks back to my youth. I was fascinated in the early days by the stories of UFOs and alien abductions and all this stuff to a credulous young lad. All of this appeared amazing. I couldn't understand why everybody wasn't talking about it and why scientists didn't take it seriously. And in those days, there was a huge skepticism that there was any life beyond Earth, let alone intelligent life. When I became a student and I professed an interest in looking for extraterrestrial life, I might as well have said, I wanted to look for fairies, everybody thought that it was completely absurd that there's only one planet with life and we are it. The reasoning was, because life is so immensely complex, it would be very unlikely to happen twice, that it was just a freak chemical accident and we're the product of it, and it's just a waste of time looking for life elsewhere. And how times have changed. The pendulum has swung, and now it's pretty rare. In fact, it's considered almost heretical to say, well, perhaps we are alone in the universe. Perhaps there is no life beyond Earth. That would be a boring fact. I hope that isn't the case. But we can't rule it out at this stage. So I've become more and more skeptical over the years as the scientific community has moved the other way and become more and more credulous. So for me, the obvious answer is, to the eerie silence is, well, I'm afraid we are alone. I really hope that isn't the case. And there are many other reasons why we may not have succeeded at this thing called SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And I'm still an active member of SETI programs, and I'm a well-wisher and a cheerleader, and I think it's really great that we embark on this quest. But unlike many of my colleagues, I don't expect us to have success anytime soon.
Okay, well, you're also on the advisory council of METI, which is Messaging Extraterrestrial Intelligence. The late Stephen Hawking said, well, watch out. We don't know what's out there. We don't know whether they're malevolent or beneficent, or we don't know their intentions. So maybe it's not a good idea to advertise our existence. So what are your thoughts about those people who want to send a signal into outer space saying, here we are?
I think fears that signaling into space is going to bring down an alien invasion are completely absurd. The logic is all twisted. If the aliens wanted our wonderful planet Earth, well, it's been here for 4.5 billion years. They don't need us to send a few radio messages to convince them that this is a great place to come. And so I just have no real understanding of why people think that sending messages is dangerous. I do, however, feel that this should not be done frivolously. I think if we are going to have a go at saying something deep about humanity, then this is a project that should involve the whole community and not just a handful of enthusiasts. So I think I am on the side of caution from that point of view, but I absolutely don't think there's any danger. And after all, these words that I'm speaking now will go off out into what we used to call the ether at the speed of light, spread out into space. If there are any aliens out there, they could pick these up. If they're 1,000 light years away, they'll pick them up in 1,000 years. Who knows what they will make of them. So we can't get the radio signals back. We've already announced our presence. I think the idea that somehow it's more dangerous for us to add messages is just completely misconceived.
And also I heard somewhere that you think there's a possibility that life on Earth may have actually started on Mars first, and that meteors were blown out of Mars and seeded the planet Earth with Martian DNA, and here we are. So if you want to see a Martian tonight, look in a mirror. What are your thoughts?
Well, you touched on another thing that where I was out of line with the rest of the community when I first suggested it, but then they came around. So in the early 90s, I began to be interested in these so-called Mars meteorites. These are now rocks that have come from Mars, because when Mars gets hit by a comet or an asteroid, it'll splatter rocks all around the solar system, and some of these rocks fall on planet Earth, and we've got several here at Arizona State University. This is now beyond dispute. But if rocks can come here from Mars, then maybe life can hitch a ride in those rocks and come here too. And I suggested that idea a long time ago, I got laughed at, but when you look at it in more detail, it's clear that this can happen. If there ever was life on Mars, it can.
Okay, Paul, we have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we'll continue a discussion of life in outer space and your books. Once again, by the way, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564 8135, and maybe you can get on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So, give us a call.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. We're very privileged today to be with Dr. Paul Davies, Professor of Physics at Arizona State University, Director of Beyond, the Center for Fundamental Concepts in Science, and author of a number of great books and bestsellers that we'll talk about today, including things like Eerie Silence, Goldilocks, The Cosmic Jackpot, Information and the Nature of Reality, books about time travel, books about extraterrestrial intelligence. But let me also ask you about the question of life. Where did life come from? Some people think that maybe life came from the oceans. Maybe volcano vents and thermal vents, for example, gave us the heat by which the first DNA molecule gets off the ground. Who knows for sure? No one was there 4 billion years ago to witness this event. But what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the origin of life on the Earth?
We were just talking about the possibility it might have come from Mars, but of course that doesn't answer your question. How did life get started, whether it was Earth, Mars, or somewhere else? We need to know how non-life turned into life. Now, There's a simple but not very helpful answer. Well, there must have been a chain of chemical reactions that ended up producing all of the vital molecules we know and love, like DNA and proteins and so on. But nobody knows what that pathway was. And the molecules we've been talking about are actually really very complex. So I don't think there's any possibility that there would have been just one amazing series of chemical reactions one day, and there it was. So it remains a deep mystery as to whether there were intermediate steps and what they were and how likely those steps were, or even what was the setting. And you mentioned about deep ocean volcanic vents, where the lava comes up out of the earth and hits the water, and you get this sort of thermodynamic pandemonium that would be a great place to do interesting chemistry. Then there are other possibilities, maybe deep under the ground itself. We know that life is not just restricted to the surface of the earth, but goes down many kilometers under our feet. So that there's life in the earth as well as on the earth. Maybe life started deep down where it was protected from the bombardment by comets and asteroids. Really, we don't know. And when I get asked about this, people expect me to come up with an answer and be confident about it. I'm less and less confident now than I was in the past, but we actually have a clue how non-life turned into life, except that it's not anything that was likely to be very easy, in my view. So we can continue to try in the lab the first baby steps towards life, but we're a very, very long way from being able to make anything remotely like life in the lab, a very long way indeed.
Okay, well, a while ago, a few years ago, you were in the press concerning the possibility that arsenic could replace phosphorus in the DNA molecule, giving us a new form of DNA, the first new form of DNA in perhaps 3.5 billion years. So what are your thoughts about, did that pan out, or what is the state of investigation into whether or not a new form of DNA can occur by replacing some of the atoms in the DNA molecule?
Now, I think everybody agrees that if we're looking to life beyond Earth, we have to be open to the possibility of some different type of chemistry going on. And there's a sliding scale of differentness where you might start with the same basic building blocks but have different genetic code or something like that, different collection of amino acids, but, you know, the same basic notion. And then slightly more radical is you might change some of the key atoms that we associate with life. I think everybody wants to stick with carbon and probably hydrogen and nitrogen and oxygen as well. But when it comes to phosphorus and sulfur, which are critical to life that we know, then you can begin to think about substitutes. And arsenic on the periodic table could substitute for phosphorus. And there are certainly lakes on Earth where there's very high a degree of arsenic, and there are organisms that live in these lakes and cope with this arsenic. And some years ago, a young postdoc here at Arizona State University, Talisa Wolf-Simon, became excited by the possibility that some of these organisms that live in these highly contaminated arsenic conditions might not just be swallowing the arsenic, but incorporating it into the key biomolecule. And some early experiments certainly suggested that these extraordinary organisms can not only tolerate enormous amounts of arsenic, but do without any added phosphorus. So for a while, it really did look like the arsenic was getting into the innards of these organisms to some extent. And then there was a lot of controversy swirling around this, and basically the experiment sort of ground to a halt, and the whole story was left somewhat inconclusive. I think it's very frustrating. It's often the case in science when there's no clear-cut yes or no answer. People don't want to get involved, and they sort of drop the subject. And I'm afraid that's the state it's in. I think these organisms that she discovered are deeply intriguing, if only because they can tolerate this enormous arsenic burden. Quite what happens to the arsenic when it's inside them remains remains an open question in my view.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question that's been bothering me for a long time, and that is, if one DNA molecule got off the ground 3.5 billion years ago, and we are all descendants of this one DNA molecule, then why didn't more variations of the DNA molecule survive? So your arsenic study, I thought, was very interesting, because maybe, aha, maybe there is a variation, but it's kind of a rare variation. There should be, in principle, hundreds of different kinds of autocatalytic molecules that can make copies of themselves, but we only have one, DNA, rearranged in different ways. So what are your thoughts about why is it that there's only basically one DNA molecule?
Well, you see, I don't agree with your statement, because the correct statement is we only know of one DNA molecule. All life so far studied on Earth is the same life. There's no doubt about that. We're all made of same DNA, same genetic code, and so on. However, if there was an alternative form of life on Earth, what we sometimes call shadow life, we probably wouldn't spot it. There could be a different form of DNA, or could be other variations. There could be life on Earth, but not as we know it, and it could be all around us, intermingled with known life. If it's microbial life only, there's no way we would know this unless we really devised special experiments to pick out this alternative life, this shadow life, from known life. You can't tell by looking. If you look under a microscope and you've got lots of teeming microbes, they're just little blobs. And if some of those had a radically different biochemistry, as you say, like different types of DNA or some other molecule, we wouldn't know it. And all of the techniques that microbiologists use to investigate these microbes, like in archaea, are customized to life as we know it. They simply wouldn't work on any alternative form of life. So I'm open to the possibility that we're actually surrounded by, in a sense, alien microbes. They could be all around us, under our noses and even in our noses, and chances are we would not yet have noticed.
So maybe there are alternative versions of DNA, except we're too dumb to know it. That's a good answer to that question. Let me ask you another question. One of the founders of the quantum theory was Erwin Schrödinger. Every quantum physicist has to learn Schrödinger's equation by heart. In fact, I teach Schrödinger's equation to our grad students. But he also wrote this book, What is Life? What is Life? And two people read that book, Watson and Crick, who then zeroed in on the DNA molecule. So the idea here is that quantum mechanics, quantum chemistry, is sufficiently rich in order to generate things like the DNA molecule without any outside intervention or hocus pocus, just by itself. Quantum mechanics has enough richness to create DNA. So is that basically your philosophy also?
Well, before I answer that question,
we have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we'll continue with our discussion, and then we'll talk about time travel. We'll talk about whether or not the universe was designed. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent. President Donald Trump is expressing confidence that a new trade deal can be worked out with Japan, possibly by next month. Hosting Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe at the White House, the president also talked about selling military equipment to Japan.
Trade as it relates to our two countries, Japan is buying a tremendous amount of military equipment and other equipment from the United States. We make the greatest jet fighters in the world.
Mr. Trump wants Japan to move towards a bilateral free trade agreement, but Japan has been reluctant, preferring instead an accord that includes several countries. President Trump told a supportive National Rifle Association audience during a rally-like speech in Indianapolis Friday that he's backing out of the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty. The treaty, which former President Barack Obama signed in 2013 but was never ratified by Congress, is supposed to regulate conventional weapon sales to keep weapons from the hands of human rights abusers. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today, once again, is Professor Paul Davies, Professor of Physics at Arizona State University, Director of Beyond, which is the Center for Fundamental Concepts in Science, author of a number of great books. I advise you to go to the Wikipedia site where you can see a list of all the books that he's written, and we can only touch on a few of them. But one question that comes up is, well, Erwin Schrödinger, Bollinger, one of the founders of the quantum theory, also wrote a book called What is Life? Essentially saying that perhaps quantum mechanics has within it a richness capable of explaining life and the origin of life using physics. Watson and Crick, James Watson and Francis Crick, read the book and they decided to latch on to the DNA molecule, and of course the rest is history. So do you agree basically with this philosophy that quantum mechanics has within it enough richness to explain the origin of life, or are there still mysteries that we cannot fathom?
Well, there certainly are still mysteries, but one of the things that is extraordinary about this book is it was published in 1944, and those of our listeners who know any history will know that was in the midst of World War II, and here was Schrödinger writing a book about a physicist's take on the nature of life. And the reason he was able to do that is, unlike many scientists from continental Europe who fled and joined the Allied war effort, Schrödinger went to Dublin in neutral Ireland. Ireland was not involved in World War II, and he was there able to indulge some of his interests, and he gave a course of lectures in 1943 entitled What is Life, that culminated in his book published 75 years ago. And as you pointed out, it was very influential on a generation of scientists who founded the field, really, of molecular biology, including Crick and Watson and DNA. Now, Schrödinger was a pretty smart guy. He was co-founder of this weird subject, quantum mechanics, and was quite an intellect. A lot of people think that quantum mechanics is one of the most difficult areas of science to understand. And so you might have thought that here was this clever fellow able to tell us what is the nature of matter. He'd answered that question. Could he answer the question, what is the nature of life? And ironically, he found life a much tougher nut to crack than matter. He'd explained all non-living matter. What about living matter? He was, however, able to offer a few pointers. His very own theory of quantum mechanics was important in explaining the stability of the genetic information. Obviously, if you're going to pass on from the parent to the child, the physical form and the instruction set to run an organism, that information had better be stored in a stable manner. Well, quantum mechanics helps explain that. It helps explain the stability of DNA and the way that information can be embedded. But that's about as far as it went. What Schrödinger was struck by, as I think all of us are, is that life does things that are so amazing, extraordinary compared to non-living things, that they look like magic. It looks like there's some sort of magic going on. And in particular, the magic that Schrödinger identified is the way they buck the trend of what we call the second law of thermodynamics, the natural tendency for physical systems to degenerate and run down and get chaotic. I think any of our listeners who have teenage children and check their bedrooms from time to time will know exactly what I mean. So here is life that goes the other way.
Okay, Paul, we're going to have to take yet another short commercial break, but after the break, we'll also talk about time travel, and we'll talk about whether or not the universe was designed by a cosmic being. Well, once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Give us a call. Leave us your name, the call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and maybe you can get on national radio.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery, and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Also, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or to my Facebook site or Twitter site. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, and about a million people pick up my Twitter feeds every week. Find out I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest one just hit the paperback bestseller list, The Future of Humanity, Our Destiny in Outer Space. But today we're talking about a wide-ranging set of issues with Professor Paul Davies of Arizona State University, director of Beyond, the Center for Fundamental Concepts in Science, author of a number of great books. Where we last left off, we were talking about the origins of quantum mechanics, that is, atomic physics, and the fact that, well, if you're trying to explain life, you come up against the second law of thermodynamics, which basically says that most things fall apart. Things rust, things decay, things become chaotic, things fall apart. And yet, the information code goes from generation to generation unimpeded. And so he had to come up against the second law of thermodynamics. But Paul, tell us a little bit now about whether or not are there any hidden mysteries in the origin of life, or can quantum mechanics explain everything?
I don't think quantum mechanics explains everything. And a lot of scientists will say, oh, well, that's because life is so complex, but if we could really drill down and understand at the atomic level, it would all just fall into place. I think that's wishful thinking. I personally believe that there's new physics going on in living organisms, and this is not magic, it's actually physics, and that we will uncover this when we study the interface between the non-living and the living. I think we'll all recognize that if you take something, say, like an amino acid, which is a part of a protein, that's not alive. If you took something like a bacterium, well, that is alive, and that somewhere on that spectrum of complexity, we will cross a threshold. I think I look forward to a physics in the coming decade where we will be able to probe that interface and uncover new principles of physics going on. I think life is explained by physics, but not by known physics, not by the physics that Schrödinger knew in the 1940s.
Okay, and speaking about quantum mechanics and, in fact, Einstein's theories, let's talk about time travel, because you also wrote a book about time travel. And first question is, do you think it's even possible to build a time machine, and how practical, given the fact that some people think you need the energy of a black hole to build a time machine? But what are your thoughts when you wrote this book about time travel?
You have to distinguish between travel forward in time and travel backward in time. And travel forward in time is actually a done deal. We do it every day. It's just what Einstein discovered in 1905, often called the time dilation effect or time warping effect. And it's simply that if people move differently, they experience different durations of time between the same two events. And this is often couched in a parable of the twins. Imagine one twin goes off in a rocket ship at close to the speed of light, turns around at some distant star and comes back again. Then the traveling twin might think that they've been away, say, 2 years, but 20 years will have elapsed on Earth. And so if the Earthbound twin compares the ages, then there'll be a discrepancy of 18 years. And so, in effect, the traveling twin has left 18 years into Earth's future. And not only can we do this, we can measure it very accurately. Now, I have to say that we can't do it at the moment by any sort of scale that will make a Doctor Who type adventure. But nevertheless, we can measure this with, for example, astronauts in orbit, age slightly less than astronauts on the ground, and this is all something that can be measured with accurate clocks. There's no doubt it's true. But going back in time is a very, very different proposition. Having said that, our best understanding of space and time is Einstein's general theory of relativity. There's nothing in that that rules out going back in time.
Okay, Paul, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is physicist Paul Davies of Arizona State University, director of Beyond, the Center for Fundamental Concepts in Science. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station you're listening to or the website, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Famous Footwear supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$5,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate, fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is physicist Paul Davies of Arizona State University, author of a number of great books and bestsellers. And go to his Wikipedia site, and you can see a list of the scores of great books that he's written. And today we're talking about a range of issues. And before the break, we were talking about time travel. So, the movie Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey, that explored the question of time travel. And Kip Thorne, Nobel Prize winner, was one of the consultants of that film. But in that film, if you watch it carefully, it took the energy of a black hole to be able to bend time into a pretzel. So, Paul, do you think, therefore, that even if time travel is possible, it's not practical? No one's going to invent a time machine in their basement. What are your thoughts?
You're absolutely right, and it's really disappointing. When I was a lad, I always thought, I'd like to be able to just cobble together a few bits of basic equipment and go back in time, like H.G. Wells' Time Traveler and the book I loved and read as a teenager. But I'm afraid it ain't that simple. Now, I mentioned that Einstein's theory doesn't rule out going back in time, and indeed there are a number of solutions of his famous gravitational field equations that explicitly permit observers to go back not only into the past, but into their own past, go back and visit their younger selves, which seems deeply paradoxical. But before we get into the paradoxes, let me tell you about the physics. You're quite right that it does require a huge sort of warping or bending of space-time similar to a black hole, but a black hole can't quite do it. With a black hole, it's black because if you fall into it, you can't get out again. It's like a one-way journey to nowhere. What you need is something you can fall into but come out the other side, and we call that a wormhole. And a wormhole is something you could see through, you could fall through if it existed. And if there are wormholes in the universe, they could be turned into time machines in a way that was studied in quite a lot of detail a few decades ago. It's become part of the established physics literature. And you might think, well, isn't all this a bit crazy? Do well-paid physicists really spend their time investigating wormhole time machines? Why would they do that? And the answer is, well, even if we can't actually make one of these things, it's important that we know whether, in principle, looping back in time is possible because of the havoc it plays with our notion of causality and the rational ordering of the universe. So that's the reason that we're interested in it. But you're right. This isn't anything that could be done by anything less than a super civilization. And maybe even then, there is some other branch of physics, maybe some branch of quantum physics, that will forbid us doing it. But so far, we don't have anything that absolutely rules it out.
Okay. Now, also, you've written about something that most physicists religiously stay away from, and that is a question of faith and science. Most physicists, practicing physicists, would try to keep them separate, but you say that it's not so simple, the relationship between faith and science. What are your thoughts?
First, I should point out that I'm not a religious person in any conventional sense. I don't go to church or anything like that. I'm really interested in the deep issues here, issues like why does the universe exist, where do the laws of physics come from, and why is the universe so amazingly suited to life? And then this shades off also into questions of consciousness. Why am I not only able to observe the world, but to come to understand it through science and mathematics? How is this possible? What does it all mean? Does it mean anything? Or is it just a sort of, is the universe just a rag bag of objects and phenomena with no coherent significance at all? And I've always felt that there is a fundamental scheme of things in the universe, that it's not just a random mishmash, but there is an unfolding scheme. Whether we should attach words like meaning or purpose to that scheme is a matter for philosophers, but I think you wouldn't be a scientist. I'm sure you'll agree with me here. You wouldn't be a scientist if you didn't think that the universe was ordered in a rational and intelligible way. And so most scientists will just accept that and get on with the job. I've always felt that I wanted to understand how is it and why is it that the universe is ordered in that manner. I don't think it's anything as simple as, well, before the universe there was a God who thought it through and then pressed the button and made the universe happen. Don't like anything along those lines, but I do feel that there's a productive engagement that can take place between scientists and professional theologians who are well-schooled in scientific matters and have themselves accumulated the wisdom of centuries of thought about the nature of reality.
And do you think, therefore, that there is a meaning to life, or as Steve Weinberg once said, that the more we learn about the universe, the more we realize that it's pointless? So do you believe, therefore, that there is a grand design or a purpose, and if there is, what is it?
Yes, I do think, and I'm always cautious about the words like design and purpose, because these are human categories, and we have to be careful projecting onto nature things that come out of the realm of human discourse. But nevertheless, we do it all the time. It's often said that the universe is a gigantic machine. That's the way Newton saw it. Well, a machine is a human construct. Sometimes people say that the universe is or nature is a computational process, so that the universe is actually a gigantic computer revolving bits of information all the time. Well, again, you know, that comes out of the realm of human technology. I think we do it all the time. And to me, the idea that there's something like a purpose, I profess a scheme of things, a rational scheme of things, that the universe is about something, seems to me eminently plausible.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. Once again, our special guest today has been Professor Paul Davies. You can go to his Wikipedia site and see a list of the different books that he's written. He's a professor of physics at Arizona State University, director of Beyond, the Center for Fundamental Concepts in Science. So, Paul, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic, and we'll put you on again when your next book comes out.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Once again, you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And the number to call if you want to get on air is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from. And hey, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations on Science Fantastic.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771.
for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.